This is the Trial Run Podcast. We are back for the final time in season one. I'm here with my main man, Brennan, per usual. You guys already know. By now, you've seen what we're all about here. And like I said, the final episode today, and we are going to be done until the next semester in months to come. Multiple month layoff. We'll see where we're at. What do you got to say for this final episode of this season?
I'm curious as to what the fans are going to do with themselves in the summer.
Yeah, I know. Like, what are you going to do? Because I know that all you do is probably spend your time waiting for this podcast.
They count down the hours.
They count down the hours, and when you're not waiting for the podcast, you're listening to the podcast and then re-listening to the podcast, hopefully. That's the only way I know that our viewership numbers are going to go up, so get on that if you're not already on that. Right now, we have happening on my computer screen right in front of me, NFL Draft. We talked about it last week in our last podcast episode. And right now, we got some crazy stuff happening in the NFL draft. Just now.
Literally just now.
Breaking news. Josh Rosen has been traded from the Arizona Cardinals to the Miami Dolphins. We don't know the draft stock that went into that trade yet. But we do know that this is a big move. The Cardinals obviously were planning on moving on from Josh Rosen when they decided to take Kyler Murray with the first overall pick. The Dolphins, what do they have to lose? I just said this to you before the show started. What do the Dolphins have to lose taking Josh Rosen? Because right now, as you pointed out, their starting quarterback is currently Jake Rudock, the Michigan alum and the Iowa transfer, who has done nothing in his pro career besides backup Matthew Stafford. So this is a good move on both sides. This is how this draft has been. This has been a bizarre draft from the very beginning, if you ask me.
It really has. It was even questionable right at the end there before the draft started if Kyler Murray would even be the number one overall pick for the Cardinals. A lot of people were talking that they might end up sticking with Josh Rosen in Arizona and go with Quinnen Williams or someone of the sort, but it, obviously, as you can tell, they picked Kyler Murray, and so it was only a matter of time now before they got rid of Josh Rosen. I don't think anyone thought that they were going to have a battle between the two. There's so much value with Josh Rosen. They could have gotten so much for him. And obviously, as you can see here, it looks like they just got a second-round pick for him. So, like Nate said, great trade by both teams. And really, it can only benefit both teams, I think.
Yeah, I know. It really can, because you saw the writing on the wall when Cliff Kingsbury came from Texas Tech. He wants to implement his system, and Kyler Murray fits that system much better. I mean, Josh Rosen is kind of a statue in the pocket he stands in there. He's a very traditional quarterback. He does not fit the Cliff Kingsbury system the way that Kyler Murray does. And the Dolphins right now, you get a young player that hasn't yet been given a full chance. And I'm not even going to say that Josh Rosen is a bust or it's not as good as Kyler Murray, because we simply don't know yet. We have no idea, because he played on a terrible Arizona Cardinals team last year, and he has not been given a fair shake in the NFL yet. So we'll see what he can do with the Miami Dolphins in the upcoming season. And yeah, you call it a great trade on both sides.
This just in, what the Cardinals received for Josh Rosen, what the Dolphins gave up was the 62nd overall pick in the second round, wide receiver Andy Isabella, and then that was the 62nd pick, I see, and then 2020 fifth round pick.
I promise you, we know what we're talking about.
So yeah, so they get a wide receiver, they picked him in the draft as the second round pick, and then a fifth round pick next year.
Not bad.
Not really bad.
Not bad, because like I said, quarterbacks, draft picks are a lot like cars. They lose value the moment you drive them off the lot. Josh Rosen, I don't want to say he's not damaged goods.
Ooh, DK Metcalf just got picked. I'm sorry, I had to interrupt you.
Thank you. Very good. Very good. Josh
Rosen. Very exciting.
Josh Rosen, he lost his value the moment they drove him off the lot, the moment they picked him. He's a guy that you weren't going to get a first-round pick for him. They tried to get a first-round. The Arizona Cardinals tried to get a first-round pick from him for the Dolphins. The Dolphins said no to that originally. So I think two picks, a second and a fifth-round pick, that's a great bargain for them. And they got a great receiver from University of Massachusetts and Andy Isabella.
They did. I want to talk a little bit more about Josh Rosen, but first I feel like this is a perfect segue into DK Metcalf, because we were just about to talk about him anyway.
Yeah, DK Metcalf just selected to the Seattle Seahawks with the 64th overall pick. The Ole Miss guy who lit the world on fire with his NBA
aneurysm.
NFL Combine
Get it
experience.
Out.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. He lit the world on fire with his NFL Combine experience and what he did there. Ran the 4.340, had a massive vertical jump. And this is what I thought the knock on him was coming into this draft. it was that he has trouble catching the football, which is kind of like, which is a little bit of a key piece, if you ask me, in the wide receiver position. They said he doesn't have great hands, but he's an explosive athlete, can get off the ball, do all those things. So, like I said, he just got selected with the 64th overall pick to the Seattle Seahawks. What do you have to say about that? Because I know that you kind of side with me on this, that if you're a wide receiver that can't catch the football, it's a little bit problematic.
We were just about to talk about, however, that we were surprised that he hasn't been picked yet. He was labeled as this, like, you know, freak athlete, great guy who's going to tear up the league. Like we said, he has the knock that he can't catch, which is a problem as a receiver. But it's surprising that he fell as far as he did, all the way to 64. I really don't know how I feel about this guy. I don't know. I can't tell yet if he's going to be a bust or if he is going to live up to the hype, because he certainly looks the part. But that doesn't always translate to success in the NFL, so we'll have to see, I guess.
Yeah, I have no really – I haven't watched him all that much, so I can't really knock him yet. I'm going to give him a fair shake. I don't want to cut him off, or I don't want to say that he's going to be something and put him in this box that he's not going to be in. He's a dynamic athlete. We know that. I just hope that he can succeed. And with Pete Carroll and with a quarterback like Russell Wilson, I think that's a great landing spot for him. And I think if he is going to succeed, that is the perfect place for him to do it.
So, speaking of busts, watch me do this. I'm segueing back to Josh Rosen, because I personally think Josh Rosen is a bust. I know you said it's too early to tell, and it is, but even right out of the gate when he was drafted, I did not think Josh Rosen was going to pan out in the NFL. Me personally, even if Kyler Murray did not fit Cliff Kingsbury's scheme, I would want them to get rid of Josh Rosen, because I don't think he's a good receiver. I mean, quarterback, I'm sorry. Personally, I just don't think he's good. I don't. Something about him rubs me the wrong way. So I'm perfectly fine with Kyler Murray being taken in the draft.
He does fit the bill of the California kid, a little bit arrogant.
Yeah.
A little bit cocky coming out of UCLA. He was a kid that had a little bit of a red flag just with his attitude in general. So I don't want to say that he's a bad player, because I don't believe that he is. But I think what you're referring to is kind of his attitude and his demeanor, which he hasn't proved anything yet, so I don't like that a whole lot. But that is what it is. We've been all over the board here on Draft Talk thus far, and I want to jump directly into this, because one of our own, CMU Chippewa, Central Michigan University, has been selected in this year's draft already. The early second round, Sean Bunting, cornerback, he is headed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We watched him play on this 1-11 or 2-10 team. I don't even remember what it was anymore. We watched him play on this team, and he was one of the best players on the team for obvious reasons. I'm very happy to see him go to a place where I believe he'll succeed, and I'm very happy to see that he jumped a lot of corners, including Greedy Williams, to get to that number 39 overall spot.
He's the third highest CMU player ever drafted, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe the only two players that have been drafted ahead of him were Eric Fisher with the number one overall pick, and then Joe Staley, another offensive lineman.
That's very impressive. Good for him. I hope he find success in the NFL.
Yeah, I do too. Since of coming to CMU, I've been really looking forward to seeing these guys that we got to watch play at the college level transfer into the pros, and we're going to see our first one with Sean Bunting. So really happy for him, and really happy for the CMU football program in general. Getting a little bit of publicity, we always love that.
For sure.
We've had a lot of surprises in this draft.
You've heard it back and forth. This podcast episode itself has been a whirlwind.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. I've been stammering over my words. I've been incompetent this whole time. I don't know. I'm trying to watch the draft, do this podcast at the same time. We've had tons of surprises. I want to know, what was your, I guess, most significant surprise from that first round that we watched yesterday?
To me, it's the way that the Giants handled the first round.
Oh, my God.
What the hell was that?
You're hopping on the bandwagon on this one, because this is what everybody's talking about right now. Daniel Jones going ahead of Dwayne Haskins.
Everyone.
Yeah, everyone. Drew Lock, Dwayne Haskins, a lot of people that were a little bit more well-known. And you got this kid from Duke. They're a basketball school, let me remind you.
Yes.
They're not a football school. So they got him going to the Giants. Yeah, that's a good call by you right there.
So I don't think there was any question that the Giants were going to take a pick or a quarterback with their first pick.
They simply should. Yeah, they should have.
They needed one. Eli is only going to last so much longer, and really a lot of people are calling for his head now. But even when they made the pick, I thought that was their only first-round pick they had, and I still thought it was a stupid pick. because Daniel Jones easily could have fallen to the second round, and they could have gotten him in the second round.
They could have gotten him with that like that late first round pick, like you said, or in the second round,
right?
Depending on how far he dropped.
I had no idea that they had two other first round picks available. They could have easily picked him with one of those other two picks. Daniel Jones is the third or fourth best quarterback in this draft. And I think by the second time their draft pick had come around, Dwayne Haskins had just gotten drafted at 15. So the fact that Dwayne Haskins, who was, you know,
he was widely considered the second best quarterback in the draft.
He didn't even get drafted till 15, and they picked Daniel Jones at 6 when they had two other first round draft picks available, and they arguably could have waited till the second round. It completely baffles me. I have no idea what the Giants front office was doing. And that organization may be the new Browns after what I've just seen today yesterday.
Dave Gettleman's a hot mess.
The
Giants franchise, and I take a little bit of pride every time I see one of these big market teams struggle. So I love seeing the Giants struggle. I love seeing the Dallas Cowboys struggle, any of the LA teams really. So I take great pride in coming from an area where I root for like a blue collar team. So whenever these high level Giants, Cowboys teams fail, I love seeing it because it makes me feel like they're on our level because we've watched the Lions do this for years.
Yeah.
Which is another textbook segue into our Lions nonsense talk because they've had two picks come off the board so far. I'm going to let you take a whack at the guy's name from Hawaii because I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So I did just bash the Giants, and they have had the worst draft in my opinion, or at least the worst first round. But the Lions are a close second. So we joked, I think, maybe four or five episodes. You said that if the Lions pick a tight end in the first round, you were going to kill yourself.
I joke every year that if the Lions take a white tight end from the Big Ten, that I'm going to stop watching the Lions. And they certainly did that with taking TJ Hawkinson from Iowa in the first round. I want to give him a fair shake, let the record show that. I don't want to be negative. I want to see what they can do. I like the fact that they're putting together an offense around Stafford, Kerryon Johnson, Kenny Galladay, the receiver of the future, Marvin Jones, and now TJ Hawkinson. But with that being said, Ed Oliver
was available.
He fell into the Lions' lap, and who was supposed to be an easy top 10 pick, a dynamic defensive force from Houston. Why do you have to do this to me every single year? This is so difficult. And then watching you take Jelani Tavai in the second round, who I've never heard of in my life.
Literally, the draft analysts at the, like, literally on ESPN did not know who this guy was.
They took this. This was the funniest part of the draft so far to me. When the Lions selected Jelani Tavai in the second round, this was right after the Drew Lock pick for the Denver Broncos. So they were still talking about Drew Lock. And they said on television that they had to keep talking about Drew Lock to find some information on Jelani Tavai because they literally knew nothing about this kid from Hawaii.
He was a projected fifth-round draft pick. I think he was – was he even top 10 among linebackers?
I think he was the fourth or fifth best linebacker based on ESPN.com.
And the linebackers above him were all but still available except for the two Devins, Devin Bush and Devin White.
Yeah, it's frustrating. We'll see what they do coming into the third round tonight. They need cornerback help. They need offensive line help.
They need everywhere help. They need D-line help.
They had Ed Oliver dropped in their lap. Yeah. They chose to pick TJ Hawkinson. Like I said, I don't want to exclude him right now. I want to give him a fair shake. But, my God, I swear to God.
What is going on, Bob Quinn?
What is happening? You need to stop doing this to me because this is elevating my heart rate and my blood pressure by the second.
I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss for really this whole draft, though. Not even with the Lions. Just like we mentioned earlier, all the surprises and all the twists and turns. I can't remember a draft that's been as exhilarating, really, when you think about it.
Oh, it's been good. It's been a really good draft so far. We've seen, like you said, the QB fiasco with Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurd just came off the board, wide receiver from Baylor. You remember him. He used to be a running back at Tennessee, wide receiver at Baylor currently. He just went number 67 overall to the San Francisco 49ers.
Shout out to Mari Baylor. I know you'll appreciate that.
Yes, Mari. But anyway, like we were talking about, this draft has been phenomenal. Quarterbacks all over the place. We had, like you said, the Daniel Jones situation. We had Kyler Murray coming off the board, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Lock today. Will Greer, potentially the next quarterback off the board from West Virginia. Just lots of interesting stuff. And there was interesting stuff happening in the National Football League outside of the draft today, actually.
There was.
Not necessarily interesting for the right reasons, but interesting nonetheless. Everybody's probably heard by now about the Tyreek Hill situation. One of the most dynamic playmakers in the NFL, plays for the Kansas City Chiefs. He is back under suspension, I believe.
Not quite, but he's back under investigation.
Under investigation, abuse of a child. So that's obviously not a great situation, not a great look for him. The Kansas City Chiefs put him on leave currently. Lots of poor stuff going on in that situation, and you hate to see that at any given time of the year.
You hate to see that because obviously he's a great football player. He's a great specimen. One of the fastest guys I've ever seen in the NFL. If you look at him, he doesn't even look like he should be that impressive. He's kind of a short guy. He has, like, no neck.
He flies, yeah.
But he flies. So it's really a bummer from a football standpoint. And then, obviously, just from a human aspect, you never want to see a guy do this. What he's done is terrible. It should never be accepted. I wonder if the league's going to crack down on this, because they haven't cracked down on some things in the past, but they have cracked down hard on other things. So
this is a tough thing, because this is a lot like the Adrian Peterson situation, but even worse.
Yeah, much worse.
But even worse, because the allegations against him are that he did things actually worse, like I said, than the stuff that Adrian Peterson did, which was abusing a child with a switch, I believe. So take that for what you will.
Yeah.
It's a bad look for the league all around. In the way that Chris Mortensen and Adam Schefter were talking on the air, it is actually probably very unlikely that Tyreek Hill
will ever play football again.
He's going to be fighting an uphill battle all the way against criminal charges, let alone football. So,
but this is what makes me so upset about the NFL. They're very wishy-washy with how they judge this type of thing, because if you look at Kareem Hunt, he's already back in the NFL.
You saw Ray Rice get a 2-game suspension after sucker punching his wife or girlfriend
and allegedly murdering someone
on camera. So that's punching somebody on cameras, a 2-game suspension. But yeah, Kareem Hunt back in the league also. You saw him kick somebody on film, so
it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. I hope that justice is served regardless. I obviously hope that he didn't do these things. I think everyone hopes he didn't do it. But if he did do it, I hope that he doesn't play again. That's my personal opinion. I am all for second chances, but this investigation already took place. I believe he denied it ever happened. And now it's resurfaced that he has done it. To me, that's a tough situation.
This has to be a zero tolerance policy. Right. You can't. Second chances are fine, but this is kind
I am all for second chances, and I don't know.
This is a tough thing, because you don't want to give second chances to guys that are poor human beings. So
right.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. We got lots of stuff going on in segment two, much to the delight of my little brother Josh. We're going to be talking NHL playoffs along with some NBA playoffs coming on the other side of the break. This is the Trial Run Podcast for our last segment. Go ahead. Thank me later. Yeah, I know what I said. But later doesn't always come, so instead, it's a okay. You can thank me now. Well, all right. We are back for the final time, the final segment of this season of the Trial Run Podcast. It's kind of surreal. We're all the way to the end of our first season. We got many seasons to come, but regardless, this is it for now. And we have one special segment that we want to do. Brennan is a bit of a movie buff, and we like to talk pop culture on here as much as we can. And if you haven't been living underneath a rock, you have seen recently that there's been a big movie that came out. Supposedly it's big. I don't know, because I don't care.
He does live under a rock.
I really don't care. So it's called Avengers Endgame, and you love it. You've seen the majority of the Avengers series, and you saw it tonight just an hour or so ago. I want to know what your take on it was, and I know that you want to talk about this, so the mic is yours. Go ahead.
Should I spoil it for the folks at home?
Of course, I would, easily.
I won't do that to you guys. That'd be terrible. Nate suggested that I do. I will never, ever do that to you guys. I would hate it if someone did that to me. I will say that it was a great movie. For people who have watched it all the way through, all the Marvel Universe movies, you're definitely going to appreciate it. It really packs it all in and ends it on a great note. And, yeah, you're going to love it. It's a classic. One of probably top 10 movies of all time.
That's not true at all, but it's a three-hour movie, so take that for what you will. If I had to sit there for 3 hours, there's no way on earth I could pay attention for that long.
You watch football games that last 4 hours.
That is not the same thing at all. That's something I like to do. If I had to watch an Avengers movie, oh my God.
Yeah, well, a lot of people like to watch Avengers movies, or Marvel movies, that's my point.
Not normal people.
Well.
There's been a lot of things that... A lot of events recently that I sit on all day for, and that includes the NBA playoffs, which are happening right this instant. And you want to say that they've been really boring recently, even though there's multiple series that have been good right now. I kind of disagree with you on this a little bit. Spurs, Nuggets, Warriors, Clippers, the Warriors, the defending champs, getting pushed to the brink by the Clippers. I think personally the NBA playoffs have been just fine this season, but I know you think otherwise.
I just don't think they've been very eventful. I think every single game apart from these, or every single series apart from these two series, have been either sweeps or 4-1 endings. So. But I will say the fact that the Warriors are in a dogfight right now with the Clippers in this series, that is very entertaining and very surprising to say the least.
The only reason you're saying this is because we're Pistons fan and we were shafted in this beginning.
That's fake news.
The first series.
I knew the Pistons were going to get shafted.
Yeah, but you didn't know that they were going to lose by 25 four times or average losing by 25 or whatever it is. They got slaughtered. It was not even an enjoyable series to watch by any stretch of the imagination. So I think we have a little bit of a homer bias in that regard that we watch. I mean, the majority of our playoff watching time this postseason has been with the Pistons. So
I didn't think it was going to happen, but I'm not surprised. I'm really not. The Pistons are terrible.
Okay, let's pump the brakes on that. The Pistons are not terrible. They have Blake Griffin.
That's their one shining star.
I would love to give Blake Griffin a little credit also. Right now, Blake Griffin put the team on his back in those last two games on a bum leg.
After sitting for the first two games.
And really this entire season, Blake Griffin has been incredible. He's kind of rejuvenated his career a little bit. He has been blue-collar since the moment he got to Detroit, and he's been unbelievable, and I love to watch him play. And I wish I could watch him play more into this postseason, but he's been great, and I want to give him a little bit of love right now because we haven't this entire podcast.
Very nice.
Very, very nice. But you want to know one playoff series, or one playoff event right now that is making up for the NBA playoffs. Josh is going to love this. I'm talking about the National Hockey League, the NHL playoffs. They have been unreal to start the year.
No one cares, though, so it's fine.
Well, that's not true, because all four one seeds, all four of them, lost in the first round, including the Tampa Bay Lightning, who had the best regular season record. They were unbelievable all season. They got to the playoffs and got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. That would never, ever happen if it was the NBA or any other series or any other sport, I would say.
Yeah, but let me preface this. I think 9 out of 10 people in the world could not tell you what the 30 teams in the NHL playoff are.
I could tell you I absolutely couldn't.
That, yeah.
Well, I guess, no, if you gave me time, I think I could. If you gave me the divisions, the conferences, I think if you give me enough time, I could sit down and bang out 30 teams. But outside of that, I don't think I could just name them off the top of my head.
No one could, because guess what? It's not interesting. It's not a good sport. It's terrible. Okay, that's false. The only reason I'm saying this is because, A, I know it will piss Josh off, and B, I'm trying to put Josh in his place and show him that hockey is not all it's cracked up to be. Hockey is a noble sport. It's fun to watch if nothing else is on, but it ain't the, you know, God's gift to mankind, I'll tell you that much.
I'm going to hit you with two pumps to pump the brakes in one segment because you need to pump the brakes on that also. I don't know what the shade is you're throwing at hockey, but there's been a lot of it. There's been a lot of hockey hate this season.
I'm just directing the shade towards Josh.
Of the teams that remain right now, there's eight teams. Who do you think has the best chance to win the Stanley Cup with your very, very, very limited knowledge of hockey?
You want
to
remind me the teams again? Maybe pull up a graphic for me or something?
I know I think the Bruins are in there. The San Jose Sharks, perhaps?
Yep, okay. I know what I'm going to say. So I do know this of my limited hockey knowledge. I know that the Sharks were down 3-1 against the Las Vegas. Is it Golden Knights or just Knights?
Couldn't tell you. I think it's the Golden Knights.
Whatever. Who cares? Anyway, the Sharks were down 3-1. They stormed back and won that series. So one of two things is going to happen. Either the Sharks are going to be burned out by that and they're going to lose in the next round to apparently the Avalanche, or they're going to win the whole thing. That's my prediction.
Well, like I said, all 4-1 seeds lost. The Dallas Stars, a wild card team, beat the Predators. The Columbus Blue Jackets, another wild card team, beat the number one overall seed, Tampa Bay Lightning. And then you had teams at the bottom, the Carolina Hurricanes beating the defending champs in the Washington Capitals. And then the Calgary Flames were the number one seed in their respective quadrant of the bracket. And the Avalanche bested them. So in the second round, we had matchups of the Dallas Stars versus the St. Louis Blues, Colorado Avalanche versus the San Jose Sharks, Columbus Blue Jackets against the Boston Bruins, Carolina Hurricanes against the New York Islanders. In all of those matchups, I think the most intriguing to me is the Columbus Blue Jackets against the Boston Bruins. The Bruins, a hard-fought series. The Columbus Blue Jackets, a sweep in the most unexpected way. And I think right now the city of Boston is going for the perfect sweep with the Red Sox winning the World Series last year, the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. Now we got the Bruins and the Celtics both in the playoffs. I think the city of Boston is going for the sweep, so I think the Boston Bruins are going to pull this out and win themselves a Stanley Cup and set up the Celtics to be the one team that has to win for the city to go for the clean sweep.
Let me ask you this. Of the two teams you just mentioned, could you name 5 players combined from those two teams?
The Columbus Blue Jackets and the Boston Bruins?
Those are the ones.
I think I could name one.
Oh my God.
I think I could name Zdeno Chara because he's 9 feet tall and he's ugly. Outside of him, oh, God. I don't know.
Just let me stop you there. You don't. I think my point has been made and we can move on.
Charlie McAvoy. He plays for the...
Oh, very nice.
Plays for the Bruins. That's 2.
Pull out your smartphones, people at home, to look up who that is, because no one knows.
God, he was in Tom Brady's Instagram video getting ready for the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, of course. Uh-huh.
He was. Charlie McAvoy. I used to know the Bruins goalie a long time.
I can hear you thinking. You need to stop this.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I could name 5 players off the remaining 8 teams.
Could you name 5 players in the NHL total?
Oh. Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby.
Jimmy Howard.
Zdeno Chara. I'm trying to do it without naming any Red Wings.
Okay.
Zdeno Chara. Austin Matthews.
Who's the one black guy? Isn't there only one black guy? Maybe 2.
PK Subban. Wayne Simmons.
He plays for the Calgary Flames.
Wayne Simmons. Both of those are—they're both black.
Wade Jones.
Oh God.
Okay, that's enough.
Is that enough? I named more than 5. I named more than 5, so I'm there.
People listening to this podcast are gonna be like, "What is going on right now?"
Well, no, they're gonna appreciate the effort that just took. So,
speaking of appreciation. Wow, we're on fire tonight.
Our final segue of this season. We have a little bit of an affection with hip-hop here, rap music. It's for the culture. We love J. Cole. For all you J. Cole fans out there, you're going to really appreciate this. If you've listened to his album, 2014 Forest Hills Drive, his best work, in my opinion, the greatest rap album of all time.
Well, we'll let the fans decide.
If I were to start a vinyl collection, I've told Josh this probably a million times, if I were to start a vinyl collection, 2014 Forest Hills Drive would be the first vinyl record that I buy. Its final song, its outro, Note to Self, is a 15-minute long song, the vast majority of it being thank yous to all of his listeners. We are going to do something like that in respect to J. Cole. We're going to do that over top of the Note to Self beat, which we can cue up right now and fire it up. I'm going to give you the first thank you. Go ahead.
As much as I give him flack and as much as I hate him, because I do hate you, Josh, I'd love to shout out Josh. He came onto this podcast.
Co-host.
Performed decently. You'll never see airtime again, but we love you.
Well,
we appreciate you.
We'll see about that. My first shout-out is to my main man, BJ, our best fan in regards to people our age. He listens every week, texts me, gives me suggestions on the show, what he liked, what he didn't like. We promised him all semester that we'd get him on, didn't get the opportunity to do so. So next semester, BJ, you will be on, I promise you. You will be on the podcast. We'll have you call in, give some of your takes that I know you'll love to give.
Next up, I'd love to thank and shout out Luke and Liam. You guys came onto this podcast when Nate was off swinging his clubs at trees in California, or in Florida, excuse me.
Cali.
Yeah, no. You're not that famous. But anyway, I'd love to shout out Luke and Liam once again. You guys are awesome and been fans since day one. And we'll remember you when we get to the top.
I'm going to shout out my parents because they've been with us since day one also. They listen to every single episode the moment it's posted. They've been supporting us since day one. They love the Trial Run podcast. They got me to CMU. So right now, my parents, I know they're going to be listening to this. They're going to be happy. So there you go. You got next.
On that same note, I'd like to thank my parents, David and Julie Bevins. Great parents. They raised a wonderful, excellent child, a wonderful son.
Cormac.
No. The other one. I've heard excellent reviews about him. Never met him personally, but apparently he's a swell guy. Nate, I think you can attest to that.
Oh, God. Okay, next on the docket, we got my grandparents, all four of them. We got Tom, Karen, Paul, Nancy. They listen every single week. We love to hear it from them. We love to hear the love from them. So shout out to them. Thank you very much. And I know you'll be listening to this.
I'd like to shout out Lisa Wiggins!
That would be an inside joke, and that'll be a direct reference right from the song Note to Self. So if you want to listen to that, go listen to some J. Cole, and you'll hear that name come up instantly. My next thank you, Stan Van Gundy. I'll never forget what you said to me when you came on the campus of CMU. We met in the elevator. You told me to never give up on my dreams. You said he motivated me to do what I'm doing right now. Ex-Pistons head coach, doing great things over at ESPN.
And Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins came onto campus. He taught me how to throw the old pigskin. Really just an excellent guy, and we learned some inside knowledge. I'd love to thank you, too.
Yeah, believe it or not, Stan Van Gundy, Dwayne Haskins, me and Brennan were all in the same elevator one time. It was unbelievable.
It was crazy.
Yeah, we were talking shop. I was giving Dwayne Haskins a few tips on what he had to do. Stan Van Gundy was giving me tips on how to talk in the media. It was just unbelievable.
Nah, we don't know either one of those two dudes. We were in the moment. Yeah, we lied.
Caught up in the moment. We lied a little bit. Jim McElwain, he is here. That's a guy right there.
Championship caliber coach. We know you're going to bring back not only a MAC championship, but a national championship to the city of Mount Pleasant.
Jim McElwain, you promised us a championship at that one basketball game that you came to, and I'm holding you to that.
So we'll thank you. I'd love to thank our vocal crew. I'd love to thank the cymbals. That was a wild session, but
that was unbelievable.
We'd love to thank you too.
We'd like to thank all the artists that we used, all the YouTube videos that we used for this video, or for this series,
we'll
rather.
We'll steal your information, no problem.
We plan on putting together a Spotify and Apple Music playlist of all of the songs that we use over this time. So we want to thank Spotify, thank Apple Music, thank everybody, because we are all in right now.
Thank you to our producer, Hunter Trolsky. You've been there since day one. You believed in our vision when no one else did. You're the people's champion, to be frank, and really just an excellent man.
Thank you, Ben Zeitler, even though you don't follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you, Blake, and his P-dub more specifically. We love that. We love you. Great job.
Thank you, Jimmy Butler, for being the man that I want to be.
Thank you, Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, for wonderful chips and a wonderful game.
And thank you to everybody who's listened to this podcast over the series, because we are out right now. This has been the final episode of the Trial Run Podcast.
One love, baby.